One. We have 70 people with us, and I'm handing over to my colleague Vineet, and we'll start the call now.
Thank you, Anand. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Info Edge India Limited Q1 FY25 earnings conference call. Joining us from management today, we have Mr. Sanjeev Bikhchandani, promoter and vice chairman, Mr. Hitesh Oberoi, co-promoter and managing director, and Mr. Chintan Thakkar, director and CFO. Before we begin, I would like to draw your attention to the detailed disclaimer in the presentation for good order's sake. Kindly note that this conference is being recorded and all the participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for Q&A after the presentation concludes. Now I'll hand over to the call to Mr. Hitesh Oberoi for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, Hitesh.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome, a big welcome to all of you to the Info Edge earnings call for the first quarter of 24-25. We will start, as always, with an update on our standalone financial performance, and then we will cover each segment performance along with the commentary on each business. And then, of course, we'll have time for Q&A in the end. In Q1 of FY25, our standalone billings were rupees 579 crores, a YOY growth of 11%, and revenue was rupees 639 crores, a YOY growth of 9%. Billings and revenue, including Zwayam and DoSelect, were rupees 596 crores and rupees 655 crores, respectively, a YOY growth of 11% and 9%. Operating profits at a standalone level grew by 9% year-on-year to rupees 227 crores, and the operating margin was 36%. The standalone business generated cash from operations of rupees 174 crores in Q1 of 2025, a YOY growth of 20%. The recruitment business continued to generate healthy cash. The cash losses in non-recruitment businesses reduced significantly by 73% from a cash loss of rupees 61 crores in Q1 of FY24 to rupees 17 crores in Q1 of FY25. EPS before exceptional items for Q1 of FY25 stood at rupees 18, a YOY growth of 16%. The cash balance of Info Edge, including wholly owned subsidiaries, at the end of June 24 stood at rupees 4,255 crores, and the headcount as of June 24 end was 5,817. Moving on to segment-wise performance and starting with the recruitment business. In Q1 of FY25, recruitment billings grew by 9% to rupees 431 crore, and revenue grew by 6% to rupees 472 crore. Revenue growth lagged behind billing growth due to the slower billing growth observed in mid-FY24. Operating expenses rose by 19% year-on-year in Q1 of 25, led by costs from IPL campaigns, as discussed in our previous call. We also continue to invest in our strategic business initiatives like Ambition Box, Job Hai, etc., which are aimed at driving long-term value creation in the recruitment business. Consequently, the operating profits were lower by 3% year-on-year at rupees 255 crores, and the operating profit margin was 54%. Cash generated from the recruitment operation was rupees 190 crores. I'll spend some time on the operating highlights of last quarter in the recruitment business. There was a slight improvement in YOY billings growth in Q1 of FY25 of 9% compared to a YOY growth of 7% in Q4 of last year. Growth momentum in the non-IT segment continued, with billings growing at 14% year-on-year. This was largely driven by sectors such as healthcare and life sciences, infrastructure, transport, real estate, and media and telecom. After a continuous decline in billings for four quarters in a row, the recruitment consultant segments, we saw a slight improvement in billings with low single-digit billing growth, but after several quarters. Billing growth in the IT segment also continued this quarter, though the growth rate trajectory moderated compared to the previous quarters and was in mid-single digits. Our niche and adjacent business verticals, including iimjobs, NaukriGulf, Naukri FastForward, also maintained healthy billings growth with YOY increases of 26%, 25%, and 29%, respectively. Ambition Box and Job Hai, which began monetization in the previous quarter, continued to grow and showed some improved performance in the quarter as well. These are relatively small businesses, and do not will not move the needle in the short term, but are strategically important to us over the next for the next 5-6 years. Employer branding offerings across our portfolio, including Naukri, iimjobs, Hirist, and AmbitionBox, have been well received by customers. We are further strengthening these offerings and focusing on increasing our market penetration. The recently launched career platform for students Naukri Campus is slowly gaining traction with an increasing number of students signing up and utilizing our offerings to become more industry ready. On the platform metric side, our Naukri database now comprises over 100 million resumes. App installs stand at 14 million, and the average number of resumes added daily was 22,000 in Q1 of FY25. Lastly, as mentioned in the previous call, we will continue to monitor overall growth over the next 1 or 2 quarters. While growth rates, particularly in IT, are positive, the trends have not yet stabilized. Moving over to the real estate segment, in 99acres, billing growth moderated to 10%. To rupees 81 crore, while revenue grew by 20% to rupees 99 crore. Operating losses reduced by 39% to rupees 14 crores, and cash losses for operations were rupees 19 crores, a YoY reduction of 54%. In terms of broad industry trends in the real estate segment, new project sales moderated in Q1. Overall, new project sales in the top 8 cities were flat sequentially in Q1 and up approximately 10% year-on-year. Sequential price increases appear to be tapering off in most cities for both new projects and in the resale segment. Unsold new project inventory levels remain at reasonably healthy levels in the most in the top 8 cities. As a result, developers continue to launch new projects at similar levels to Q4 in most cities. There was uncertainty during the election period, which may smoother out in subsequent quarters. For 99acres, billings growth in Q1 was driven by improvements in both the number of billed customers and in the average billing per customer. Broker billings for us, broker and channel partner billings, grew faster than developer or builder billings. Our listing realization continued to increase year on year in Q1Q as well. Driven by successful premiumization through product upgrades. We continue to invest in gaining new users and further increasing our lead in brand recall. Overall user traffic on the user side, on the buyer side, in 99acres grew by 23% year on year, driven by growth in both new projects and resale traffic. Our app daily active users on the app grew by 33% year on year in Q1. 99acres remains focused on investing in growing its user base, delivering a superior platform experience and providing differentiated content to help users make informed real estate buying decisions. Moving on to the matrimonials business, in Jeevansathi, billings growth momentum continued. Billings grew by 35% to rupees 25 crores, and revenue also grew by 35% to rupees 26 crores. Operating expenses were reduced actually 25% year on year. Driven by a huge reduction in marketing costs, which was down 45% year on year. Business is now nearing break-even. Operating losses were reduced by 88% year on year to rupees 2 crore. Cash loss was rupees 4 crores, and year on year improvement of 79%. The business continues to focus on monetization. We had made several features on the app free a couple of years ago, but now we are back to focusing on monetization with new features launched in Q1, such as super interest and handpicked matches gaining good traction. Marketing expense rationalization continued with marketing costs down 45% year on year while maintaining growth momentum. Competition intensity remained similar to last year. There was no change on that front. Paid products launched a few quarters back following the free chat implementation have been gaining traction as users see value in these offerings. Some gains in Q1 were also achieved through better realizations. Offering a high quality matchmaking experience remains our core focus, and we plan to further invest in matchmaking, improving matching recommendations to improve user outcomes. Key metrics like acceptances and two-way chats on the platform continue to show healthy growth. The business will continue to launch new products in the coming quarters and try and offer different value propositions to different users. Some of these new products will feature exclusive new functionalities for paying users, and the chat functionality will continue to remain free on the platform. Moving on to the education business, Shiksha, in Q1 of FY25, billings grew by 25% to rupees 42 crores, while revenue grew by 18% to rupees 42 crores. Operating profit was, we made an operating profit of 4 crores last quarter versus a loss of rupees 1 crore in the same quarter last year. Cash generation from operations grew to rupees 7 crores versus 30 lakhs in the same quarter of last year. The emergence of, in the Shiksha business at a macro level, the emergence of new private universities in India presents an opportunity for Shiksha to expand its huge, its footprint. Shiksha makes most of its money from private colleges and private universities and not from government colleges. We continue to invest in making our content more comprehensive and student-friendly and in building deep domain expertise in this space. Shiksha's traffic share, in fact, reached an all-time high of 51% in April of 2024. Student interest in studying abroad for the fall 24 season, you know, the study abroad business is a small part of the Shiksha business, has been affected by the weak external environment. We remain committed to making long-term investments in strengthening our study abroad platform, improving the productivity of our counseling team. Moving on to the consolidated financial highlights for the company as a whole. At the consolidated level, the net sales for the company stood at rupees 677 crores in Q1 of FY25 versus 626 crores in Q1 of FY24. The total comprehensive income stood at rupees 3,583 crores in Q1 of 25 compared to rupees 3,002 crores in Q1 of 24. Profit before tax without exceptional items in Q1 of 25 was rupees 329 crores compared to rupees 217 crores in Q1 of FY24. To summarize and reiterate our midterm to long-term outlook, we are truly excited about the growth opportunities across all our businesses. The IT-dependent segment of our recruitment business has been volatile, but it is recovering from the lows with positive signs emerging in the last two quarters. The July 24 JobSpeak report has also been very encouraging, and it's the JobSpeak index grew by 12% year-on-year in July and month-on-month, it grew by 11%. Fingers crossed. Let's see how this plays out over the next couple of months as well. We have been expanding and strengthening our GCC and non-IT segments by improving our go-to-market offerings and adding more clients, particularly by penetrating further in Tier 2 and Tier 3 cities. Our niche and adjacent businesses such as IIMJobs, Naukrigal, Fast Forward, Ambition Box, and Job Hai have been delivering decent results and expanding the opportunities for future growth of the recruitment business. Our non-recruitment businesses are showing reasonably healthy growth and are all nearing or approaching break-even. 99acres has established a strong value proposition and is on the right track to grow market share through, you know, given favorable market conditions, new offerings and better realizations. Jeevan Sathi's shift to a premium model has now started yielding results. We are accelerating top-line growth and reducing losses. Shiksha continues to grow well and is already profitable. We have also been making reasonably good progress in deploying AI and machine learning across all our businesses. As a result, we are seeing benefits in terms of higher user engagement on the platform. And we are also trying to boost both productivity and efficiency inside the company. A key strength in navigating these cycles, which we go through periodically as a business, has been our strong cash generation and our healthy sort of bank cash balance. We continue to evaluate the best possible ways of deploying our cash to maximize shareholder returns. Thank you. I'll stop here, and we are now ready to take any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Hitesh. We will now begin the question answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question, please raise your hand on the screen. We will take your name and announce your turn in the question queue. Anand, over to you.
Thank you, Vinit. So the first question is from Vivekanand from Ambit Capital. Vivek, go ahead and ask your question.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. First set of questions pertain to Naukri and recruitment. Hitesh, could you explain to us how non-IT as a segment did? You've been expanding the presence of Naukri across tier 2 and 3 markets. On your JobSpeak also, you are disclosing a lot more number of cities. So clearly you are focused on tier two and three cities, and mostly these cities are non-IT centric. So could you help us understand how non-IT is doing for you, and what's the pricing proposition like for non-IT customers versus current billing trends for IT, and how you think about the scalability of non-IT billing?
We've done a bunch of things over the last 3-4 quarters to accelerate our non-IT growth, sales growth, and also to improve the experience on the platform for both the non-IT job seekers and customers. We've opened new offices in existing cities. So cities like Delhi, for example, NCR, we used to have 3 offices earlier, but the cities have grown over time. So now we have 6 offices, for example, in NCR to service our customers better and to grow coverage. So we have an office in Ghaziabad, we have an office in Faridabad, we have an office in Greater Noida, we have an office in Manesar. We were perhaps not covering these markets, adequately earlier. And, cities have grown over time. We've also opened new offices in cities where we did not have offices earlier. I think our goal is to get to 100 cities, in maybe a couple of years. We perhaps already in more than 70 cities, and that's where we have a lot of non-IT growth, right? Because as these cities grow, they are creating jobs, and IT is not everywhere. And many of these companies start small, and it's important to get them onto the platform early, right? On the product side also, our IT experience is always very good, and on the job seeker, both on the job seeker side and on the customer side, we have been working very hard to improve our experience for non-IT users, job seekers and recruiters. Harder problem than IT because there are so many industries, so many segments, all kinds of job seekers in the market. There are, so segment by segment, we've been trying to improve the experience. We are targeting, looking at the bigger segments first, and we're here. This is where we're deploying a lot of AI and machine learning to improve the experience. We do all really well with the bigger customers, even in the non-IT space. And now we are trying to make more inroads into the smaller SME space as well. The SME customer is very different from the enterprise customer. Often SME customers are small in size. They don't have HR departments. They don't have a lot of time to go through our database and post jobs. And, so we're trying to see how we can help them use the platform better. Also, we must understand that the non-IT market there was a supply overhang in this market because not much hiring happened during COVID, but a lot of people, hit the market, looking for jobs. And that supply is slowly getting absorbed. That overhang will hopefully go away with time. And if that happens and the economy continues to grow at 6-7%, then actually the non-IT segment should grow even faster for us going forward. But fingers crossed on that one. So that's really, so again, our pricing in non-IT also, is more modest compared to IT. Because the hiring needs of customers, of every company, and IT companies hire in large numbers, while here they sort of don't hire that many people, but we have worked with many more companies, right? So it's also more aggressive. So all in all, we are happy with the progress on the non-IT side.
Great. This is helpful. Just one more on recruitment. Job Hai seems to have now expanded to, I think, around 60 cities, and you seem to be getting a lot of traction in terms of number of job seekers on the portal. How should we think about the revenue contribution here? It seems like there is an explosion in the number of profiles that you are adding here. I mean, year on year, I think you've expanded to so many new cities, so many new job seekers. I think you're doubling there. And perhaps from a low base, I understand. But how to think about the monetization of this segment? You seem to clearly have critical mass.
You're absolutely right. We've worked very hard on the product for the last 3 years, and we seem to have got product market fit. There's a lot of traction. We're getting a lot of job seekers. We're getting a lot of jobs. We're getting a lot of new recruiters advertising on the platform. And it's a freemium model. So, anybody can actually post a job for free to start with. And it's mobile first, it's vernacular, it's local, So it's a very different platform from Naukri, targeted at a very different user segment. If a job has to be successful, I mean, Naukri may grow. Naukri today works with 120,000 customers, perhaps. If we do a good job, we may end up working with 250,000 customers in the next 5-6 years. On the other hand, if job has to be successful, then we would want Jobe to work with 1 million customers, 5-7 years from now. It should be the platform of choice for SMEs as well, not just enterprises. And that's how, that's how we've been thinking about Jobe. We were not monetizing because we wanted to get the market, the product market fit right. And we started pressing the pedal on monetization only a few months back. And we are getting a reasonable response. We don't want to compromise on the freemium elements of Jobhai. So we don't want to force people to pay to list, customers to pay to list on Jobhai, but we are launching more and more features to, just like in Jeevan Sathi, to see how we can monetize our heavy users, better. But this is a 5-6 year play. This is not something which is going to move the needle on top. It may move the needle on bottom line, but it may not move the needle on top line for the next 2-3 years. But long term, it's a big opportunity because the truth is the blue collar job market in terms of volumes is perhaps 4 or 5 or maybe 7 or 8 times the size of the white collar market. ARPUs will, however, be lower. Unit economics will have to be figured out with time, so that we want this market to be as self-serve as possible. So fingers crossed, but good traction, a lot of job seekers, a lot of pledges. And I won't be surprised if in a couple of years we have more jobs, or maybe even in a year we have more jobs on Jobhai than on Naukri, and we start getting more daily registrations on Jobhai than on Naukri. But that'll be a good problem to have.
But you already do seem to have a lot more jobs there, right? If I look at the job listings number, the live jobs on Naukri are around 4-5 lakhs. Here you have like 1.5 million or something. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, those may be vacancies, not listings. I was referring to listings. So against every job, there may be like somebody wants to hire delivery boys. They may want to hire 100, 200, 500, right? But I was referring to the number of job listings,
Understood. Yeah. Great. Sanjeev, one question. Thank you, Hitesh. Great answers. Very detailed as usual. Thanks a lot. And Sanjeev, just one question for you. We get to interact with you very infrequently, so I'm taking the liberty to ask questions from the annual report as well. So sure. This year you invested in 20 more companies through the AIF, right? All three AIFs. And you seem to have pressed the pedal on capital deployment in fiscal 24. And we are seeing that your investees seem to have had a very high interest from external stakeholders in terms of wanting to fund them. So how are you thinking about exits and monetization in the AIF? We saw recently that there was some transaction announced where Apex Digital came in. How to think about the exits here? Or is it too early? And how to think about
little early? We have a 12+2 year fund, right? Because we believe that past experience and evidence tells us that in India, if you go early stage, you have to be patient. I mean, you look at Zomato. We went in 2010. Policy Bazaar. We went in 2008. We are still there, and the big value, has come in the last 3-4 years. Which basically means if you exit in 7-8 years, you won't, you need to be there, for a long, long time before you really, get the value. So, which is why we have a 12+2 year fund, because most funds are of shorter duration than that. We then deliberately went for 12+2 years. So it's a little early. Our first fund, our first AIF was 2019. So if you start looking at getting your exits 8 years or 9 years out, then you're talking about 2027, 28. Of course, there will be some exits. It may happen earlier. If something blows up, you'll obviously exit earlier. If there is a great acquisition offer that comes along and the founder wants to take it, you can't really block that because you have to back the founder because you can't really run the company without the founder or the founders. And if you invest in a later stage company, like we did with Ixigo, it goes public. Now, we haven't exited Ixigo, but we have the option to whenever we want. So we are patient. We're not even thinking of exits right now, actually.
Okay, great. That's very helpful. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Vivek. The next question is from Nikhil Chaudhary from Nuvama. Nikhil, go ahead and ask your question.
Hello, thanks for the opportunity. Hitesh, first on recruitment side, while overall billing growth had been improving since last 2 quarters, but underlying growth, especially in IT, has changed growth trajectory from double digit to now mid-single digit. Despite quarter four, I suppose, was a high base year compared to quarter one, right? So in same kind of wild swing happened in JobSpeak as well, right? June, we saw the dip in July, very sharp upswing. So any color there, what's happening? What would be the trend going ahead?
If you could say, see, we were actually April and May were good months. In June, we saw sort of negative, we saw a decline in jobs being posted on the platform. Now, according to our sales team, maybe it had to do with the uncertainty around the elections, but we can't be sure. I mean, July, we've seen a bounce back. Will it sustain? Hard to say. Right now, as things stand, the sales team is more bullish than they were. But, you know, it's all the function of what happened in the last month more than anything else. You know, moods change basis, you know, that. So it's a wait and watch situation. Like we had said last time also, we would want this to maybe comment on this 2 quarters from now. I mean, there's a recession in the US. Now, according to some people, that may impact things in India. In the past, recessions have also been good in the medium term for IT companies because recessions lead to cost cuts and ultimately, you know, more people get hired in India as a result. But we don't know how this is going to play out this time. So fingers crossed. I mean, in our company, at least I can tell you attrition has moved up a little bit, you know, so that's worrying us. Let's see if this sustains there. Hard to say what's going to happen.
Sure, Hitesh. Second, on margin side, we have seen improvement in profitability, especially on the non-recruitment side, and many of the businesses almost reaching break-even. So just want to understand what's the strategy going ahead. We have reached some of the milestone which we targeted. Are we planning to increase the profitability further, or no, we would like to invest back in the business?
So in Jeevansathi, we are targeting break-even this year. So we would like to get as close to break-even as possible. At the same time, we're targeting high growth because we've started monetizing more aggressively. We had gone free for a couple of years. We continue to be freemium. Chat is cheap, but we have launched more features and more functionalities to help monetize better. We would want to get as close to break-even as possible this year in Jeevansathi. In Shiksha, can we continue to sort of be profitable? The domestic business grew very well in Q1. Study abroad is struggling a little bit because of what we're seeing are happening around the world. At least even in Shiksha, we would want to at least, target break-even or at least make some profit this year. But we would want to continue to invest in growing our platform and improving the quality of content, the quantity of content, the richness of the content on the platform. We are investing a lot more behind the app. We are, wherever possible, we are trying to use, generative AI and data science and machine learning to improve the experience. So that will continue. 9 acres is a little tricky. We had a great 5 or 6 quarters, but this quarter, growth was a little lower than what we expected. And on deeper analysis, we realized that in certain markets, we grew really well. And in some markets, we struggled. Now, again, anecdotally, what I can tell you, the business took a hit in June. Maybe again, it had to do with some uncertainty around the elections. And often when state governments change and so on, and all these things happen in real estate, some of the projects get delayed. I mean, approvals, take longer. As people adjust to the new environment. We would want 99acres to grow faster. Going forward, we are doing whatever we can. And if that requires us to invest a lot more in the business, and if that means, taking a loss or some more time, I mean, that's fine with us. I mean, we see this as a good opportunity in the long run.
Sure, Hitesh. You have mentioned now the investment in the non-recruitment side. In past, you have mentioned that FY25 will be a year where you want to invest in the recruitment side as well. So is it fair to assume that FY25 will be the year of investment where, the focus will be on growth or maybe building the capability rather than profitability improvement?
Right. Even in recruitment, see, we continue to invest in our job hire business. We continue to invest behind the Ambition Box platform. We continue to invest behind IIM Jobs and Hirist. Even our Naukri Gulf business has been doing well. We continue to invest in the Naukri Gulf business. We spent, for example, even though our business is growing slowly, we were on IPL in Q1. That's why our marketing spend went up in Naukri, because we were out of media for a long time, and it's never good to be sort of out of media for a long time. I mean, there is, you know, normally, you know, slowdowns don't last for a very long time, and business always bounces back, and it's important to keep investing even when the market is slow, because that's how you get share. That's, you know, and so that's what our philosophy has been. And, you know, we will continue to invest, like I said, because we are thinking more medium term and more long term. It's a huge opportunity. And we would not want to slow down investing just because of a couple of bad quarters in any of our verticals, in all our verticals, not just in jobs.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Just last one from my side. Just understanding Grey HR transaction in more detail. By the name, Grey HR was a strategic transaction, right? And yes, now we are letting a private equity acquire it. So what's the thinking behind it?
Yeah. So you're absolutely right. See, when we went into Grey HR, you know, in our heads, it was quasi-strategic. But over time, we've realized that we would rather sort of invest more in sourcing and recruitment and automation than in getting into an HR services play. So really nearly over time, in our heads, we turned financial instead of strategic in Great HR. And therefore, you know, but of course the company is doing very well. The founders are executing brilliantly. We see a long-term we are confident that the business will do well in the long run. And some of the early investors wanted to exit. They're given opportunity for us to get another investor in. It's not as if the company needs a lot of money. The company is breaking even and growing well. But, you know, because some investors wanted to exit, Apex, was very bullish on the company and they wanted to come in, and we allowed them. And the founders are very keen. And but we continue to be bullish, and we continue to, you know, be investors in the company. And we're hoping that the company will, perhaps IPO in a few years from now, if all goes well.
Sure.
You see, Nikhil, it's like this. If earlier investors want to exit, either we buy them out or somebody else buys them out because they want to exit. And if we are no longer regarding it as strategic as we thought earlier, then, do we want to commit more money to buy them out or let somebody else? And that is the choice. And I think we've made this choice for reasons that it's no longer as strategic.
Sure. Understood. Thanks a lot. Good luck for coming period.
Thank you, Nikhil. The next question is from Nitin Sharma from MC Pro Research. Nitin, go ahead and ask your question. Nitin, you're there? Maybe we'll take the next question. Next, we have Vivekanand from Ambit Capital, a follow-up question. Vivek, go ahead and ask your question.
Thanks for the follow-up opportunity. Hitesh, just extending previous participants' question on investments in recruitment verticals. You had previously quantified around 20-25 crore per quarter investment. And even now, while answering my job hair query, you said that it will have a bottom line impact. So I presume negative impact. So could you help us understand how much of a drag are these gestation projects causing? They're not monetizing to their potential currently. So how much loss are you absorbing in the P&L from some of these projects which are very long gestation?
In the range you said, 20-25 crores a quarter, around that much.
Okay, so that's pretty similar despite revenue coming.
Yes.
I see. Understood. And secondly, on 99 acres, the competitive environment, like you said, there's some back and forth there.
I mean, there are some aggressors, plus you may have gained some market share. So how to think about the investments there? In your annual report, you didn't disclose the segment-wise advertising this time last year. I mean, in fiscal 23, you had. So just to understand the ad spends here and how to think about the OPEX for 99acres. I mean, revenue, you addressed that quite well. I wanted to understand the OPEX on 99acres along with the ad spends and research.
How much did so ad spend? We are actually spending more than we spent last year. I don't know exactly how much. Right now, as we speak, we have a higher budget than we spent last year. On the other hand, job, you know, manpower costs, etc., are under control. So those are not growing a lot. But we are spending a lot more on advertising than we spent last year.
Right. So in that, in effect, you're saying that even if you see, let's say, a 20% revenue growth, it may not necessarily lead to a very sharp reduction in losses. Is that how to infer it on 99acres?
Yes, you're right.
Okay, great. Thank you again and all the best.
In case there are more questions, you may raise your hand. We'll take them one by one. That was a... Yeah. So the next question is from Swapnil. Swapnil, go ahead and ask your question.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. I just wanted to understand the spends that you did during the IPL. If you can just quantify that, and will we continue such spends going ahead, and how often would that be?
We will not be able to give you the numbers, but. You know, so IPL is of course once a year, and the team was out of media. I mean, now Naukri had been out of media for a long time, which is why we went aggressive on IPL in Q1. We don't intend to spend as much money in Q2. Q3 is also normally a lean quarter for advertising. But in general, I mean, we will spend a lot more on advertising this year than we spent last year on Naukri.
If I can just probe you a bit more on that. So on Q-on-Q basis, your Naukri spends seem to have grown around 22 crores. I would presume a majority of that would be related to, market.
Related to, yes, because of IPL.
Because of IPL, yes.
A lot of it is because of IPL.
Right. And the second question is with respect to your 99acres business. We have seen your revenue growth coming mainly from the broker segment of late. The developer segment seems to, their revenue share has been declining quite a bit. Any color on that as to drive that growth going ahead, if at all? And if that is not going to happen, would it not be fair enough for us to invest on the B2C side, directly go to the customer and try to monetize that even more than what we are doing right now?
2 points. So one, see, the market is also moving more and more towards channel partners. So on the resale side, all our revenue comes from brokers, right? There are no developers there. On the new home and new launch side of things, in the primary market, we make money from both channel partners and developers. Our sense of the market also is that it's moving more and more towards channel partners. So there are more channel partners than earlier. More and more homes are being sold through channel partners in more and more cities. In the north, for example, in NCR, maybe 90% of all homes are sold through channel partners. While in a city like Bangalore, maybe 40-50% of all homes are sold through channel partners. But the share of channel partners in home sales is increasing in every city with every passing year. And that's showing in our numbers as well to some extent. We believe our platform also delivers better for channel partners than for developers. And we are trying to see how we can fix that. We may have to launch some offerings which work, for better for developers. Maybe our pricing is also a little off on that front, and we're trying to see how we can fix that. But long term, our sense is, if we were to fast forward 5 years, most homes in the country will be sold through channel partners and not directly by builders, especially in the affordable and those kind of segments. And especially when the market is a regular market. See, in a hot market, anything happen, you know, developers don't need us, they don't need channel partners to sell. You know, you may have heard of DLF launching, everything getting sold in 2 days. Nobody's required if that is the case. But in a regular market, you know, it's more and more transactions are likely to happen through channel partners than through developer sales teams over time. That's our sense.
Right. And on the B2C part, any plans to go aggressively on that side?
Monetizing owners, you mean, and buyers?
Yeah, both.
We don't intend to monetize buyers. That's not in our plan. We have some offerings for owners. You know, while any owner can list their property for free on 99acres, we offer some value-added services, and a small percentage of owners avail of those services. About you know, maybe 7-8% of our revenue is from owners in 99acres.
But by any chance, do you want to increase that share if the developer share is not going?
No. You know, of course. I mean, we would want to grow our revenue from owners, but it's not a very, very big part of our strategy. We would rather grow revenue from brokers, channel partners, and developers first.
Got it, Hitesh. Thanks for that.
Yeah.
The next question is from Jalaj Manusha from Swan Investment. Jalaj, go ahead and ask your question.
Thanks for the opportunity. I hope I'm audible.
Yeah, please go ahead.
Hitesh, this was question was for you. So has there been a material change in the outlook for IT hiring from the last quarter per se?
The July jobs peak was very positive. And, you know, all I can say is that we've got, you know, some of our clients have renewed and upgraded. Whether this will sustain or not, I don't know. I mean, we should wait and watch for maybe another 3-4 months.
Okay. And this upgradation you are talking about, per se, for the IT clients only?
Yeah, about IT clients. I was referring to IT, some large IT clients. And like I said, you know, our consultant hiring recruitment, you know, we get about 27-28% of our revenue from recruitment firms, and they were, you know, negative for at least 4 quarters. We saw a slight improvement there. You know, they moved into positive territory. A lot of these recruitment firms also work for IT customers. But, you know, let's see whether this sustains. And I don't know what you are seeing. I mean, now your IT company may be telling you whether their attrition rates are going up or not.
So from our IT companies, what we understand is the utilizations have started to peak out right now.
Yes.
Though attrition numbers to be moving on the downward trend. So just wanted to understand if that is just a posing before you guys.
Yeah, so that's, you know, what I had said last time as well, right? That a lot of these IT companies had overhired during good times. And they had built a big bench, and slowly, and as a result, their utilization rates had fallen. And because they did not hire for a long time, they're now back to pre-COVID utilization levels in most cases. And therefore, if they have to maintain headcount, they will now at least have to replace the people who are leaving. So at least that part of the market should come back. Now, are they going to be hiring for growth? I don't know. Are they going to grow headcount aggressively from here on? I don't know. Will attrition rates go up? I don't know. I can also tell you that GCCs have started hiring. So some of the larger GCCs shut down hiring. You know, the larger ones, the smaller ones were hiring, but they were small. So the larger ones had stopped hiring. Now, there are some green shoots there as well. Some of the larger GCCs have started hiring in small numbers. Let's see how this plays out. If they start hiring in large numbers, then that may lead to higher attrition in IT services companies as well. But let's wait and watch and see what happens.
Understood. Thanks a lot, Mr. Chola.
Yeah, thanks, Jalaj. So, Vinit, that was the last question we had for the day.
Anand, I have, I guess, Abhishek Banerjee as well.
There's one question just came. So, Abhishek Banerjee from ICICI Securities. Yeah, so Abhishek, go ahead and ask your question.
Yeah, hi. Hitesh, just one question. You just mentioned that the captives are starting to hire. Now, last time you had said that captives, when they just formed, you do not get any revenues from them.
Yes.
But after a year, they also, you know, start contributing to your revenues. So given that the number of captives have gone up quite a bit in the last 1 year, do you see the revenue contribution from that increasing going ahead?
Again, even here, there's an 80-20 principle at work. There may be 1,700-1,800 captives, but the bulk of our revenue comes to the big ones. You know, the big ones are maybe 100 in number. You know, they had all sort of, most of them had sort of frozen hiring because of, you know, what was happening in the US and so on. Now, if they start hiring in large numbers, then, of course, you will see, you know, we will benefit immensely. The smaller ones, of course, once they, like, you know, I had said last time, in year one, they may just hire 50 people. They don't need anybody. They go through recruitment firms and hire because they need to hire senior management and middle management. But once they start hitting 200-300, headcount of 200-300, you know, they have attrition, they need to replace people, they need to hire for growth. And that's when they start using platforms like Naukri. So that will continue. And yes, over time, as a number of captives with a which have a headcount of more than 200-300 in the country start growing, you know, it'll also, it'll help us. But for the needle to move, you know, the big ones have to start hiring. And we are seeing early signs of that, but let's see if that sustains.
Understood. And in the matrimonials business, if you could give some thought process on what is happening there, and is there any likelihood of the revenue growth kind of starting to look up?
The revenue growth is 35% right now for us, and we want to sustain this kind of growth for at least two more quarters. And at the same time, cut burn and, you know, reduce our costs so that we can get to break even for the year or near break even, you know, maybe plus minus 8-10 crores. That's our internal goal. And that's what we are focused on right now. As far as the overall recruitment market is concerned, I really don't know much. Maybe it continues to grow at 7-10% per annum, like it has for many years.
So actually, when I asked about revenue growth, beyond the number which you used to do before you decided to, you know, discount on the pricing bit.
Yeah.
So do you see yourself breaching that level anytime in the...
if we continue to grow at 35% for the next couple of quarters, then, you know, for the year as a whole, we'll cross 100 crores, right? And I think we were around this number. I don't remember the exact number, but perhaps around this number, 2 years ago. I remember our billings were hit by 30% when we moved to this model. So we perhaps will inch back to where we were 2 years ago, but with much lower marketing spend. So, and therefore, improved profitability and higher share of overall matches, since the number of, you know, people on the platform has grown. Let's see. I mean, and now the real test will be the year after this. You know, how fast are we able to grow once we get to the 110 crore sort of top line? And now after that, will we start growing at 10% or will we grow at 20% or 30%? Let's see what happens.
Understood. And are you looking at monetizing the new age products which you have developed in that front?
The dating platform. No, so there, you know, we are sort of still learning, and we are bullish on one or two products, but early days. A lot of work to be done on as far as those platforms grow. But of course, they're a long term opportunity for us.
And one last one to Chintan sir, any update on the Google? Issue with regards to how much they're charging you for in-app billings?
Hey, there are no further updates. I mean, all is okay on that front right now. Nothing to worry about at this point in time.
Got it. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Abhishek, there is a question from Nitin Jain. Nitin, can you raise your hand so that we can take you live? because he posted that. But Nitin, we can't see your hand actually while you are posting a message that you raised your hand. Yeah, it's there.
Now we can see that.
Yeah. It just came and again went. So Nitin, you'll have to raise your hand so that we can take you in.
Ask your question in the chat box. In text
maybe,
and answer.
Maybe you can ask the question there, yeah.
Nitin, maybe I have...
Yeah, can you see my hand now?
Yeah.
Nitin, you're online. You can go ahead and ask.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. Yeah. So first of all, congrats on the good quarter. So I have a little long-term question on the 99-acre business. So given that, you know, the real estate cycle has turned for good for quite some time now, but we are not yet in the mode of, you know, reporting operating profits, although we have consistently reduced losses there. So my question is, what would we need to do, you know, to take the business to a level where it reports profit on a consistent basis, like whether we need pricing changes or strategic changes or product changes, if you can, you know, throw some light on that. And my second question is for Sanjeev. Given that, you know, some of the investments, especially Zomato, Policy Bazaar, their stocks have done pretty well in the last few years. So, and, you know, we've been invested there for a long time as well. So would you be like, is it on the table at least, you know, evaluating whether we can book at least a partial profit and, you know, pay out as a special dividend or something along those lines? Thank you.
Right. To answer the question on 99acres, the short answer is that we need to gain more share. You know, we are very strong in some cities. In some cities, you know, we need to work harder. In the end, you know, revenue is a function of supply share, traffic share on the platform, and which translates into higher pricing and therefore more profit. So that's, I mean, and to do that, we need to, you know, of course, we are working on the product and we're improving on working on improving the experience on the platform. We are trying to fix our pricing wherever it's it needs to be fixed. And we are working hard to get more and more supply on the platform so that it becomes a one-stop shop for all things real estate. And, you know, at the same time, we also need in the new home segment, you know, we actually are not competing with real estate portals. We are competing with Facebook and Google. There we need superior offerings to sort of, you know, get people to engage with the platform a lot more. And these are things we are working on, but let's see how this plays out.
On the Zomato and Policy Bazaar shareholding, look, this is obviously constantly discussed at the board, but we have taken a slightly longer term view that where will these businesses be 3 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now? And if there is, if we believe there's substantial growth and consequent value creation left, we think it's better in our, and we think it's better for our long-term value creation for our shareholders, we'll probably stay. But yeah, this is constantly discussed. As of now, there is no plan to exit.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nitin. Any other question? You may kindly raise your hands now. So, Vineet, there are no more questions for the day.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone. We may now conclude this call. Thank you for joining in. You may now disconnect the lines.
Thank you all and have a great evening.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Thanks, everyone.